Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me is not Ryan, which is really shocking, I know, because this is actually the first week in 92 episodes that Ryan has ever missed. So he had to go away for the weekend, but instead I have the fantastic, amazing Garrett from StarCast. How are you doing tonight, man?
Well, that's a hell of an intro. It sounds like I have some big Canadian shoes to fill.
They're pretty huge, I'm not going to lie. I feel like you're up to the task, though.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad someone has faith in me.
So, for those of you that don't know, Garrett is the owner of Amove TV, which is the network that we're currently on. He's on StarCast, he's on Campaign Roundtable, and the brand new Amove Radio, which we actually had a little fun with a couple weeks ago, because we were like, Amove TV Radio? Is it TV or is it radio?
We just dropped the TV because we were like, well, we want to do one where we don't really need to worry about video. Get back to our roots. And so we're like, okay, we'll do live video when we record it live. But after that, we're not going to worry about doing anything with the VOD because who wants to just see our talking heads on YouTube?
Like, isn't that pretty much what we do, though? Just talking heads on YouTube?
I guess that is a good point. Yeah, true. At the end of the day, isn't everyone on YouTube just talking head?
Yep.
yeah, exactly. No, Amove Radio has been a lot of fun. It's anyone who's listened to StarCast from the beginning is probably aware of the fact that Kyle and I like to get just tragically off topic at times. So this has given us an outlet where that is almost the goal.
That's fantastic. I know I was a huge fan of This Week in Blizz, so I was a little bit sad, but then I saw what you guys were doing with the whole Amove Radio thing, and I was just like, yes! Broad gaming, love it. Yeah, so,
yeah. And we'll still talk about Blizzard stuff. It's just like, well, like...
You can't really get away from that.
right, exactly. But now we're not forced to talk about, like, specific percent changes to the run speed of a barbarian in Diablo. Because, honestly, like, going to that show sometimes, we'd look at some of the news and be like, do you care about this? Do you? Okay, why are we talking about this? So that's kind of why. We just like, well, why don't we just do something that plays to our strength, which is ADD on a massive level.
That's amazing. So everyone should check out Amove Radio. They stream live, same place we do, every Monday night, same time slot as This Week in Blizz was.
Yeah, 8 p.m. Eastern time.
There you go. And while you guys are at it, if you're looking at what Garrett is into, you can actually head on over to Slash Loot, because along with the Gamers Inn t-shirts on Slash Loot, you guys can actually get StarCast t-shirts, right?
Yes, they absolutely can. There's a StarCast shirt and another one with which has Tychus the Marine with Kanye West glasses called Stim Shades. That's another one of ours as well. So you can
I don't think I've actually seen that one. It's been a few weeks since I've been on that site. So.
Oh, I'm proud of that one. I love it.
That is actually really amazing. So, yeah, that's just slashloot.com, and head on over and grab yourself some swag from Amove. Which brings us into what we're playing, which is pretty much all we're going to talk about tonight, because I just didn't want to do news, and Ryan's not here to make me, so we're just going to talk about everything we're playing.
In your face, Ryan.
Yeah, take that.
We don't have to clean our room. I can have ice cream before I finish my dinner.
Exactly! Oh, I'm so psyched about this. So... I've been playing some Borderlands 2, which I know for everybody is like old hat because we're like, I don't know, it's been out for what, 8 months or something now? Maybe more.
Yeah, I want to say I got it around Christmas last year. Yeah, because I got it during the Steam Christmas sale.
Got mine during the summer sale. So I picked up a 4-pack. And so I gave one to Joel, and we gave a couple away on the show. So Joel and I played, last week. And man, is it fun.
Is Joel better at that than he is at StarCraft?
No.
Really? Oh, damn. Well, he must be awful then.
No, he's actually not that bad. I'm just teasing him. He's fine.
I hope you heard that. Joel.
Oh, he will. He will.
You come back, man.
Oh, man. I want to get back into StarCraft so bad. But I find whenever I play, I get so incredibly angry and worked up. Like, it doesn't matter if I'm winning or losing or what, I just get so crazy competitive that I have to stop. And like, if I play more than an hour, Joel's like, okay, I'm unplugging your computer, like, no more StarCraft.
That's funny. It's something we talk about on StarCast a lot. I mean, it's to the point where, I mean, in the community it has a name. It's called ladder anxiety. It's like you're almost like afraid to hit that fine match button.
I'm not so much anxious anymore about joining the actual matches. I just get really, really ragey.
I know that feeling. As a matter of fact, just before we started the show, I was scarfing down some food and talking with my girlfriend about, you know what she was asking me what the show is about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, it's like a general gaming and news podcast. So we're going to get on, probably talk some GTA. I don't know. I forget how we got on the subject of my nerd raging, but she made the joke that anytime that she's out in the living room and I'm in the office and she hears a loud pound, she's like, at no point do I ever think, something must have fallen off a bookshelf or something. She's like, nope, I guess Garrett lost something.
Garrett must have lost the game of the week, whatever that happens to be. Yeah.
Exactly.
I have a really, really bad case of rage against video games, but it's never against necessarily the game itself or the people I'm playing against. It's always against me. I'm just like, oh, why am I not better? Why is this so hard?
Oh, yeah. Especially, I mean, like, in my case, when you do a show about one specific game, you're just like, I should really be better at this. But I think I talked about it last night on StarCast at some point. I said something about, so there's something specific about StarCraft where when you lose and you lose bad, at least for me, I like want to go into the corner and huddle and pretend I don't exist. I just feel ashamed I get really like steamrolled.
Well, we should just totally leave this Borderlands 2 talk aside then, because I know that you are really, really good at something that I am really, really not good at. So I think it's a really good time to mention Hearthstone, because you hit a milestone yesterday from what I hear.
Yeah, I hit Masters yesterday, which comes to find out, I guess it was just in time because we're about to have the first rollback.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah. They announced, I believe it was yesterday, that the first major balance patch is going to be coming out soon, so to expect a full wipe of everything, you're going to have to go back through the tutorial again.
I just leveled up my rogue. Just.
Oh, really?
Only because I heard Dills was talking about how much he loved playing the rogue because it was like an auto win card, and I was just like, you know, I'm losing so much, I just need to try something else. So today I played the rogue for like 2 hours, and I kept going up against a priest. Just, again, I'm just playing AI because, like, okay. I just find other people are so intimidating in a game that I feel like I know nothing about, because it's so complex, because, like, you have so many different cards to choose from for all the different classes that I just feel like I'm never going to learn, or at least not in a beta. I'm not going to take the time to really dive into all that there is to know about Hearthstone, so...
Yeah. I mean, as you can see, I wish you could see my desk, but I'll pick some up right here. I'm rather into Magic as well.
Oh, I used to love Magic.
So, I don't know. It's kind of it's right up my alley. It's like, I like Magic. I love Blizzard. You mean I get like a little bit of both? Sign me up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm digging it. That game has stolen so many hours from me. It's ridiculous, but I like it because, I mean, if you do like just one game, it can be relatively short, and it's I found that it's like it's become my kind of like my decompression chamber after like a really intense night of, say, StarCraft or Dota 2, and especially if I have a bad night and I've lost, I'm like, oh my god, well, you know, at the very least, I know I can get into Hearthstone and at least win one game before I'm ready to go to bed.
I totally do that. I get home, I work 12-hour shifts, so I come home, I've been out of the house for 14 hours a day, and I just need something for like half an hour to just sit and game before I have dinner. And so I just like, I come home, I drop my stuff, and I'm just like, Hearthstone. And Joel, make me dinner. Hearthstone. It's a great system.
You know, if you want to try a deck, if you want to try a class, I don't know what you would call it. I guess a hero is what they're calling them in the game. That isn't completely broken and will probably not be nerfed into the ground with the latest patch. Try the Shaman.
Ooh, I haven't tried a Shaman. I've tried, like, when I say tried, I have played a couple matches as each class, but I think the only thing that I've actually sunk serious time into is the Mage, the Rogue a little bit today, the Druid, and I feel like there was one other. Oh, the Hunter, because I play a Hunter in WoW, so I was like, I can't jump into Hearthstone and then not play my class. That would just be morally wrong. So
now, you know how you can name your custom decks?
Yes, mine are like custom Rogue 1, custom Rogue 2.
I was going to ask you if you were doing what I've been doing, and I've been naming them after surrogates in World of Warcraft. Like, oh, my nice. Warrior is named what my warrior is named in World of Warcraft, and so on.
That's
and so forth.
That's the best idea ever.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't have a shaman, so my shaman deck is named, I think I named it Artosis Pylon, because I based it off of Artosis's shaman deck build over on his StarCraft Dojo site. Yes, he posted a Hearthstone deck build on his StarCraft site. Don't ask why.
There are a lot of people, whether they be, you know, StarCraft players or casters or whatever, they're really, really, really getting into Hearthstone. I think it's once they balance everything and actually release the game, this is going to go esport really fast.
I think so too, yeah. They direly need some kind of replay and, like, observer system.
Which I think that they'll probably get there. I don't know when that's going to happen, or if that's something that they're going to introduce a little bit later on. Just like they've already got kind of the idea with StarCraft, right? They've already got that system built, so they just have to kind of implement it into a new game. And I don't really think that that's going to be a huge leap for them.
Well, I'm sure coding.
I'm about to get my head bitten off.
This is something we actually. It's funny we talk about this on. You mentioned this week in Blizz. This was a topic that always comes up, which is our as strictly gamers and not programmers. We always made this joke that anytime we start talking about programming a game, that the people who actually code these things are probably screaming at us when they hear it, because it's a good point. I mean, obviously from a concept standpoint, they're very familiar with replays and spectating, but I would love it to be like you could just take it out of this one and plug it into that one, but I really doubt
how
that's
hard
how it
can
works.
It be.
I mean, we had discussions for almost a month straight on This Week in Blizz about why you cannot, like, why Blizzard can't increase the amount of item slots in the backpack in World of Warcraft.
Oh my god, I got so excited the other day because I threw the like level 90 end game stat thing where you can do the research. I got this recipe doing my daily research to make a bag, and I was all excited because I was like, oh my god, it's like a 36 slot bag. I just need to use like 10 magnificent hide. It's not even a problem. It's amazing. I'm so excited. It's for leather shit only. And I'm just like, oh man, I made two because I was so excited. I didn't read it too closely and I made two. So I wasted all my freaking hide. And then I have like 36 slots for leather in my bank.
Is it soulbound at least? Like, or is it not soulbound so you could at least sell it?
I can't remember if it was or wasn't.
Some of those profession specific bags sell for quite a bit. I remember I spent a fortune back in the day on my engineer's toolbox. But you're taking me back because I've been playing since vanilla.
Yeah.
And I remember making that exact same mistake.
I feel like I'm falling into a lot of the pitfalls now that I'm actually playing endgame stuff. And everyone's just like, oh, I remember when I did that 6 years ago. Yeah, I'm laughing at you now.
I mean, in like a super nice way, it's incredibly refreshing to hear someone who's relatively newer to World of Warcraft's take on the game, because like at this point, like I'm definitely one of those like jaded World of Warcraft players. It's just like, yes, back in my day, we ran Burger Burger Burger. It's funny.
But yeah, so I mean, in terms of actually going back to Hearthstone a little bit, since I haven't played, I've played some of the things against other people, the actual like play button. I haven't done a lot of arena. So when you were talking about how you got into Masters, is that in the play? Is that in the arena? Like, how do you know what league you're sitting in?
That's via the play button. And I guess nowhere, I'm not sure if anywhere in the actual game itself it calls it this, but this is in StarCraft 2, that's called the ladder.
Yes.
So you go into matchmaking, 1v1, 2v2, 3v3, etc. As long as you're doing ranked, you're playing on the, in your case, the North American ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And you can land in any of the leagues between Bronze and Grandmasters. And everything in
guess
between.
Where I land.
Yeah, it happens to all of us. So Hearthstone has an incredibly similar system. It starts at Copper and goes to, at the moment, Master. Even though it says next rank Grandmaster, but currently I guess there is no Grandmaster in the game. And I'm very curious to see if it's going to work like it does in StarCraft 2. In StarCraft 2, there are only ever 200 Grandmasters per server. So to get into Grandmaster, someone has to drop out of Grandmaster.
Right.
And free up a slot, essentially. So someone has to be doing I wouldn't say really bad, because obviously if they're Grandmaster, they're damn good at the game. But so it's
relatively bad.
Yeah, it's this weird sliding scale. So there's someone that's doing really crazy good in Masters, and they're just waiting for someone to suck enough in Grandmasters to drop out and get the slot. And that's what I'm curious if they'll do in Hearthstone. So in Hearthstone, it's not as, it's not as transparent, because in StarCraft, once you get placed, you can look at your specific ladder and see the other, 100 some odd people. Did I say 200? I think there's only 100. I'm sorry. God, someone out there who's a StarCraft fan is like, how did you get that wrong?
We're going to get the emails.
Whatever the case, you can see the people who are on your ladder and what rank they are, what race they are. You can click on their profile, see how many wins they have. And right now in Hearthstone, you pretty much, you just get a medal. Like, congratulations, you're in Diamond with 1 star, and you can get up to 3 stars. And I guess once you get up to 3 stars, the next rank is whatever the next medal is. Right. So in my case, I started in Platinum, and I leveled all the way up through Diamond and then to Masters.
That is extremely impressive. I made a sarcastic face that I know you couldn't see, but it actually is very impressive.
Yeah, so it's I think it's all, it boils down to just the matchmaking. Much like StarCraft, you play some games and there's a system in place where, they're trying to figure out how good you are so they can place you against people of similar skill.
Which they, I'm going to say right now, do a fantastic job with. I mean, I had not even leveled my rogue all the way to 10. I jumped into a play game today because I was just like, you know what? I'm not having fun playing the AI. I kept choosing to play against a priest because I was just like, you know what? I can't crack this priest dude. I just cannot beat him. So I need to practice. And then once I can beat the priest, I bet I can beat them all. And I just got so frustrated that I was like, okay, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to go play a real person. And then I went in and I played a real person. And it was like, it was a really, really even match. And I think I've been 2, maybe 3 weeks out of Hearthstone now that I just haven't touched it. So I was way rusty. And it was a really close match. So, I mean, they do a really good job of matching you up against people that aren't going to blow you out of the water, because there's nothing more frustrating than going in and just getting murdered.
Yeah, they've always been really good about that. Mm-hmm. I think their goal is for you to have a 50% win rate. They want you to win.
I am nowhere near that.
Equally. Right, right. But and currently, I'm sure there's a lot of rogues out there who are nowhere near that, but in the positive. The,
yeah.
Way. They're so strong right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see how they're gonna balance that. Obviously, I think that the Defias ringleader is at the very top of the chopping block. Like, all right, you're going to the guillotine first.
Which is what I've heard. I didn't even have any of those in my deck, so I was just kind of like, that's probably why my rogue deck was so weak.
I guess that's another good question. Like, have you bought cards?
I haven't actually paid for any cards. I haven't played much of the arena. I think I tried it once, just because I'm fairly certain it was a quest to go in and try the arena. So
yeah, they give you one freebie.
Yeah, I think I went in and I used my freebie, which it was a lot of fun. I liked the randomized card thing and the, you just have to pick one of these three and go with whatever you end up with. That was really fun.
Yeah, it's like their version of a draft.
Yeah.
In Magic Gathering. Which is really cool. But it's like a nice mix of like the draft format and then like the limited format.
Mm-hmm. So I really like the arena was fun, but other than that, I just took all of my coins and I piled them into decks. So I think I ended up with about 10 decks through all the coins that I earned. So I didn't actually spend any money, but I have opened packs.
Well, you've opened packs. Okay. Yeah. So you have, what do they call them? Expert cards, I think.
I think so. Expert decks. Yeah.
Yeah, which is funny. It's just like cards should be just cards, but I guess since there's like a base collection of cards that everyone has, providing they've leveled up to 10 on every hero,
mm-hmm.
I guess they have to differentiate it somehow.
Yeah, but a couple of my cards came out gold, and I got all excited. Then I was like, oh, they're not actually good; they're just fancy.
I've been shredding all of them because they give you more dust, and I want to.
Oh, okay. This is another thing.
Really good for constructed.
What is dust? What is this whole constructing thing? Because you go through the tutorial and they never tell you anything about breaking down cards and making dust. And everyone talks about all the dust. And I'm just like, what?
You can. So in World of Warcraft, you have the profession enchanting where you can disenchant loot and get dust or crystals to then make enchants for items. So that's the flavor of what enchanting in Hearthstone is like. Basically, so you've constructed a deck, so you know that you can only have two types of any card in the deck. You can't have more than two of the same card in the deck. So also, what is interesting, and I remember this was the thing I wanted to know more than anything about Hearthstone, so when I got in, it was like the first thing I tried. I was like, well, I wonder if I have one constructed deck, if the cards that are in that deck can then be used in another deck. And they can. Mm-hmm. So you only ever need, at most, two of any card.
That's true.
So what they did, and also because there's no trading in the game.
Which is really, really weird. I mean, I kind of understand with all the troubles that they've had with Diablo that it's kind of potentially could break the game. But at the same time, it's like, it's a trading card game. It's right in the name. Like, you should probably get on that.
Right, right. I don't know how I feel that because the I feel like the crafting system is pretty darn good, with the exception of there are some epics and legendaries that I would love that I don't think I'll ever have enough dust to craft. But
so can you pretty much craft everything in the game, or are some things just strictly drops?
No, you can absolutely at the moment craft any card that exists. The problem is that depending on rarity, there are a lot more dust to craft.
Right.
Like a legendary is obscene. I mean, thousands of dust.
Oh.
Whereas a common card is only 40 dust.
Oh, okay. Even then, how much dust do you get per disenchanting of a card?
I don't know off the top of my head. I do know that commons only yield 5 dust.
Oh, okay. But still, 5 to 40 isn't too bad. That's, you know, you got to get rid of 8 cards to make one of the same level. That's pretty good.
But if it's a gold card, you get even more. I think you get like almost like 20 if it's a common gold or something like that.
But they're so pretty.
Yeah. Again, don't quote me on that. I'm not exactly sure. And you can't disenchant cards that are from the base set, the ones that you get just from leveling.
Right.
So
I think, is there anything else that you really want to cover in Hearthstone before? I think since we're on the Blizzard kick, we'll probably stick into WoW, but...
Yeah. I don't know. Just it's just so much fun. I'm having an absolute blast with this game. I've read some critiques of it recently from people who are
not in the beta and very bitter.
No. As a matter of fact, last night on StarCast, I specifically stated that I stopped reading the Hearthstone Reddit because it is nothing but people complaining that they're not in the beta. I read a critique of the game recently by, I'm trying to find the gentleman's name. Crazy smart dude. Brian Kibler, who is a game designer and designed the tangible World of Warcraft card game that just recently they ended.
Which is so sad because all the pets.
Yeah. He's also a very accomplished pro Magic the Gathering player. So this guy's kind of a high roller in the world of
TCGs.
Competitive card games. So he had a blog post recently that was just really insightful, and it is a critique of it, and saying like, this is what is working and this is what is not working. And the guy is crazy intelligent and on a completely different level from me in terms of how good I am at card games. So that was really interesting. I'd recommend, you know, anyone out there who's really interested in this, go check that out. I'm not going to bore you by rereading it here, but
was the author's name again?
Brian Kibler.
Cool. So everyone go check that out. We will try to get the link to that in the show notes. That pretty much brings us into what I've been doing in WoW this week, which has been Brewfest, because I am back on track, I'm really happy to say, on the way to my Violet Protodrake, so screw you, Midsummer! I killed me a boss!
That's awesome. For a while there, my girlfriend Katie and I were on the kick. We're like, we're going to get our Violet Protodrakes, because her character is named Khaleesi, so she wants every dragon
Nice! That is a really good goal to have.
Yeah, and then she just quit playing.
Oh.
So I don't know.
I can definitely see both sides of that. I mean, like, we've been playing so much and so hard, and then you kind of get to 90, and then it's just like, okay, well, now what? Well, now there's lots of dailies, and maybe go back and do some stuff. But, you know, I can definitely see falling out of love with WoW.
Oh, yeah, I've always gone through cycles of where I'm like, play like crazy for 4 months and then unsub for three and then come back for two and then unsub for one and then come back for six. I love WoW to death. It's I'll probably be playing it off and on until it's
forever.
Just like basically until Blizzard releases another MMO, I'm assuming. Probably. Or unless Elder Scrolls is as good as I hope it is.
Oh my god, dude, it's going to be so good. I'm so excited. Oh,
I have been so burned by so many MMOs.
No, I know, but hear me out, hear me out. Okay, so you've got the lore and amazingness that is Skyrim and the Elder Scrolls series, right? So going all the way back through, like, I picked it up at Morrowind, so I didn't do the first two, but I've got 3, 4, and 5 under my belt, and I just love it. So you've got all of that lore, you've got that amazing combat system, because I don't think that I've ever had as much fun in a game as I had in Skyrim, where you could just totally switch up whatever the hell weapon you wanted to, and I could go from being an archer to being a swordsman to being a dual wielding axe guy, and it was totally fine and doable on my same character. So you throw all of that in with all my friends in a PvP environment. Oh my god, dude.
Oh yeah. If it is seriously just like, if it plays like Skyrim but with 100 of my best friends also, I'm in. I'm just afraid that somewhere, somehow, they aren't going to execute as well. But like I said, that's just because of years and years of looking for other MMOs that just haven't worked out.
Well, and I think that's the thing is, WoW was my first MMO, and I haven't even been playing it for 2 years yet. So I'm not totally in love with the genre, and I'm not always looking for something else, because WoW is still new to me. I'm still really enjoying being in Blizzard space. So
You're playing the best MMO. I'm just gonna give you the cheat sheet right now. You already got the right answer.
Although Guild Wars 2, I've heard, is amazing, and they actually have a free weekend coming out. I think it's today through October 4th, so it's actually about a free week. So if anyone wants to go jump in, try Guild Wars 2. Everyone tells me it's fantastic, and it's like
that is by far the closest I have come to recapturing that like fresh WoW feel. But none of my friends play it, so it's just like, I own it, but no one's playing it, so it's lonely.
That's what's kept me coming back to WoW so much, is that being part of AIE, there's always people online, there's always people to talk to. You feel like you know them all, even if you've never talked to them before, just because you share this AIE-ness.
I need to get over there. I don't know what I'm doing.
You're being, I mean, like, Alliance or something.
My real-life friends apparently really like having porn stashes. That's all I can say.
Oh, well, I can definitely see the draw.
Yeah. Oh, God, I apologize for that loud motorcycle that just drove by.
Oh, is that true? I figured you clicked on something you shouldn't have or something.
No, I wish that was a soundboard drop or something, but no, we just have multiple people on this road that own obnoxiously loud vehicles.
I totally thought it was like, and then they added goblins and it all went to hell. Motorcycle sound.
No, man, that was the best. I remember when they added the mechano hog and the hog and the chopper in Lich King. I was just like, new goal, because I am an engineer.
Oh man, that's awful. I spent a lot of time with the goblins over the last week trying to finish up Brewfest, doing the Dark Iron Dwarves, when they come and attack Brewfest, and you have to, like, hold them off by hucking beer mugs. Did you ever do that?
As a matter of fact, that's right after Brewfest is when Katie, my girlfriend, kind of fell off, because we had such a hard time getting all the achievements for Brewfest.
And that was so hard.
I distinctly remember trying to do that 7 times before we finally got it.
I think I did it. It was more than that, because not only is there no one playing kind of the repeating content or the lower level content, is that now that Orgrimmar is actually instanced out, if you're in part of the raid, because the Siege of Orgrimmar came out, right? So everyone is not even there anymore. So I can't even like run in and be like, guys, can you just run outside for like 2 seconds and help me with this? Because they can't see it. They're not even there anymore. So
that's strange. Usually when there's an event like a world, like a holiday event like that, they take that kind of stuff into consideration.
It could be that they can see Brewfest, but they definitely can't see me running around between the bank and the auction house going, help, help, I need help with the dwarves.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So if they're not coming out to outside, then they're not going to go to the event. They're not going to see it. And Yeah.
I love this image of my head of you literally running back and forth between the two busiest spots in Orgrimmar, like all caps slash yell slash Y. Help, help, the dwarves are here.
The dwarves are coming, the dwarves are coming.
No, they probably do see you, Jocelyn. They just think you're an NPC.
Oh my god, they probably
they don't think
do.
You're a player.
No, my gear isn't matched well enough for me to ever pull off being an NPC.
But, okay, so you're not like me then. I transmog like every 2 seconds. Like, I'm bored with these shoulders. I'm going to use these ones. And I guess I should go find 10 other things that match.
I totally used to. And then I was switching gear so often when I was leveling that I didn't. And then now with all the Timeless Isle stuff, I'm
If you're fresh 90, if you're fresh 90 hitting the Timeless Isle, you're going to be replacing gear left and right.
Yeah, so I've just kind of like held off because that's another thing I've been doing a lot of is Timeless Isle. And you can lose so many hours in that place. Like, although I went around the first day and I found, I think, most of the treasure chests, and they're like one time only. So that was my favorite part because I couldn't kill anything because I have like no skill and don't know what I'm doing. So I was just like running around finding treasure chests and like getting coins and gear and being like, ha, I have better gear than you now. Suck it, Mr. Dude Killing a Snake.
Yeah, the first time I went out there is you have to party up. It's ridiculous. Everything there is elite, and everything there wants to kill you with a vengeance.
Yes. Oh, man. I tried even today, and I have everything now except for my chest is 486 instead of 496 in terms of eye level, and I don't have pants yet. My pants are still 450. Everything else is Timeless Isle gear, and I got two-shotted by a snake. I'm just like, what is going on?
Pants were, I think, the last thing I ended up getting an epic version of on my pally, on my main as well. I remember my buddy, I have a buddy named Mike who plays a hunter, one of the best damn hunters I've ever run with, and he had all epics and then had replaced all of his epics at least once, never got a pair of epic pants. Just like had the worst luck on the face of the planet. And then of course when Battlefield Barons came out is when he wasn't playing. I'm like, dude, you could have gotten, like, free pants. You're just giving them away.
Oh, man. That's something I didn't do until, like, the day before 5.4 dropped. And then I was just like, I found out that they weren't going to have 5.3 Baron stuff in there anymore. It was just going to be gone. And I was like, oh, man, I better go do this. But I didn't actually really get any gear or anything out of it because I only went through and did everything once. So yeah. I got one legendary pair of boots from walking up the mountain.
Those epic boots you get from the Emperor quest are really really good. Didn't miss too much. It wasn't honestly that exciting from like a lore standpoint,
although
it was mostly just a grind for gear.
I found it really interesting because what I've been missing is that with everything already being available, this is the first time I've actually experienced like 5.1 came out, then 5.2, then 3. Every other expansion, everything's just already there. So there's these huge holes in story for me. So at least in 5.3, like, I didn't play any of the 5.2 stuff. Like, I haven't been to the Isle of Thunder yet. But at least playing through 5.3, I totally understand now why we want to, you know, get a new war chief and stuff. So
it filled in a hole. Yeah, especially if you leveled up from 1, you're pretty much time traveling because you start and Deathwing is alive and has just decimated everything. Mm-hmm. Then you get the Burning Crusade, which basically sends you like decades into the past where Illidan's still alive.
Yep.
And you fast forward to Lich King where Arthas is somehow still alive. And then like you never see Illidan die. You never see Arthas die. It's a cat of content and Deathwing's still alive, but oddly enough he didn't touch Northrend and no one in Outland seemed to give a damn that he was around.
Definitely an interesting experience, that is for sure. But something else I'll stop for like ever, but so you've actually been playing something else this week that I haven't had a chance to get my hands on yet. We touched on it last week just with all the news around the, you know, like crazy angry reviews and people getting mad that everyone didn't just give it 10 and all that kind of stuff. So we did talk a little bit about Grand Theft Auto last week, but you've actually got your hands on it. So
I've been, besides Hearthstone, Grand Theft Auto has been very quickly draining hours away from my life like some kind of time vampire, and I don't mean the sparkly kind.
Oh, good, good. No sparkly vampires here.
So yeah, that game, I did not like 4. I didn't play a lot of 4. I just wasn't into it. So it's been a while since I've really kind of gone all in on a Grand Theft Auto game. So I guess the last one was San Andreas for me. So it's kind of interesting. So since my last real Grand Theft Auto experience, which was San Andreas, which was like this low res Los Angeles, I have actually lived in Los Angeles for a period of time, moved back from Los Angeles, and now Grand Theft Auto 5 is this really crazy, surreal representation of that city.
So you can actually, playing the game, recognize spots in LA that you've been to or...
Big time, yeah. I did actually just before the show tonight, actually just before the new episode of Korra, which I had to watch, I did a side mission on one of the characters where you like do a jogging race against this crazy 39-year-old woman who's way too into jogging, as people are in Los Angeles. And we're going across this bridge, and I'm like, holy crap, I know exactly where this is. I walked across this bridge on Christmas back in 2011.
Jeez.
It's not a one-to-one. Like, you can't lay a map of LA over the map of Los Santos, and it's not even going to come close to matching up.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got so many iconic landmarks and intersections and buildings that it's just weird. If you've ever been to LA or spent any amount of time there, it's uncanny. Like, you're driving around like, oh crap, this is Burbank. My favorite sushi joint is right on that corner.
Nice. So do you find that enjoyable, or are you kind of like, okay, this is freaking me out now? Like,
I honestly got to say, I really dig it.
Oh, good.
I dig it a lot because, I mean, obviously it's what their goal was, and they nailed it. I mean, they just knocked it out of the park. So,
So one of the things that you mentioned is when you're driving around, because that's what you do in Grand Theft Auto a lot. What are the mechanics like in this one? Because that is the one thing about Grand Theft Auto and really anything that Rockstar does. I hated it in Red Dead Redemption because it felt like you were just, you know, a horse that drove like a car. And, you know, it was the same thing in L.A. Noire. My favorite thing was the driving. Is it different?
I'm about to come through the internet and fight you because Red Dead Redemption might be my favorite game of this generation.
Really?
I loved it. Loved everything about Red Dead.
I'm slowly backing away from my computer right now.
If it's not for you, it's not for you.
I enjoyed the story, I didn't like riding the horse specifically, and there were so many storyline quests that involved, like, ride the horse really well, and I was like, oh, I can't, it's a freaking car.
Well, see, I thought it controlled a lot like the horses in Zelda, so it didn't really bother me.
I can kind of see that.
Yeah, but it's funny, actually, we're admitting games that are really popular that we don't like. Everything Bethesda's ever made besides Skyrim, I've hated with a passion.
Even earlier Elder Scrolls stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'd be curious. I almost wish Joel was here so I could get to one of my Garrett patented Let's Talk About Art, even though it's not an art podcast.
I have probably heard it all, so I can be pseudo Joel.
Yeah, like back with Oblivion, and what was the one before Oblivion?
Morrowind.
Anyone who's hung out with me and drank and had a beer and talked to video games knows that I like to get very loud and spiteful about the art direction in the Elder Scrolls games because I think it's the most lackluster thing I've ever seen. Like, I find some of the creatures in Fallout hysterical. Like, I think 80s movies have better creature design than Fallout. Man.
That is definitely one thing that Joel said is he was just like, everything looks the same. I don't understand. This is supposed to be like fantasy or something. And the only thing that's even remotely different is this dude, but he has a lizard head. What's that even about?
Yes. Thank you. Joel totally gets me then. I love Skyrim. It blew my mind. It made me eat my hat. I was like, okay, all right. I'm all in with this. This is an amazing experience. But before that, I felt like every game they put out was like, everything was Chuck E. Cheese mannequins with a stick up the rear end. It always bothered me.
Oh, jeez.
How do we get here?
Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very, very good point. So anyways.
Back to the driving in Grand Theft Auto. Is it better?
It is. As a matter of fact, Grand Theft Auto 4, that was one of the big things that really turned me off. I thought and still think that the driving in Grand Theft Auto 4 is the worst driving in any game ever. Like, it's
fair
like
enough.
Trying to drive soap on ice.
Really, that is a really, really good comparison, actually. I mean, I tried the start of 4, and it felt very similar to 3, but with worse driving. I didn't even think that they could do that. I played a bit of 3, I liked it, you know, there was a lot out at the time, so I gravitated towards other stuff, and the system that I had, I mean, God, I was little, I was young, so the system that I had for playing stuff on was not that hot, so, yeah, I mean, it was chuggy and laggy, and I was just like, meh, I'm out.
I was so good at driving in the original, like the last generation Grand Theft Autos, because that, I mean, GTA 3 and Vice City and San Andreas, they all came out at a time when I was like, had the least responsibility and the most free time.
Exactly.
So I played so much of those games. Like, I was the master of getting away from cops. Like, I was so good at driving those games. So, like, when I got to 4, and I know what they were trying to do. They were trying to, you know, bring physics into driving. And on paper, I loved that idea. And I just don't think it was executed very well in 4. Now, fast forward to 5 now, I think that they've reached a really happy medium. Where it feels a little arcadey, but the cars definitely still have weight. But it's not unfun to drive. Mm-hmm. It took me a little bit getting used to, and getting a car that handles better definitely makes all the difference in the world. Like, if you get, like, they have, like, the equivalent of a Prius, which I actually drive in real life. They are not fun to drive in this game, but they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But if you get one of the tuners or, like, the Lamborghinis, those things are just fun as hell to drive.
That's very impressive. I was talking about it last week, actually, when we were talking about the reviews and everything else, and how everyone was kind of ripping on the story and talking about how they treat women and everything else, and I was just like, I would totally play this game. What are you talking about? I just hate how the cars drive. That's the only thing holding me back. So, I mean, without getting into spoilers, because we're still talking, within a week of release, story-wise, I've heard some stuff about how the main three characters are just not likable, which, I mean, they're badass gangster guys who beat up hookers. You're not really supposed to like them. If you do, you've probably got some issues you should kind of work out.
I actually like them all for different reasons. Franklin, I like a lot because he actually, for all characters, include, like, put on a scale, he seems the most human and have the most heart.
That's good.
He just seems to have, you know, been dealt a rough hand from where he's living, you know, in the projects of Los Santos. But and then you've got Michael, who's the main character you see a lot in the trailers. But then there's Trevor, who's criminally insane, but I love him almost the same way I love the Joker. It's like, do I want to hang out with him? No, I would stay as far away from this man as humanly possible. But do I want to be a fly on the wall and enjoy this guy's psychotic antics? Yes, a million times yes.
Yeah, and I think that seems to kind of be the people who enjoy all kinds of games like you and I do. I feel that it's the kind of ability to just take yourself out and enjoy it for the entertainment value, as opposed to, like, this is reflecting society or this, that. It's like, no, it's a freaking video game. Like, you know, it's just a story. Yeah. Someone's telling a story and it's entertaining, and that's really the end of it. Like,
yeah, and it's Grand Theft Auto. At the end of the day, it's Grand Theft Auto.
What do you expect?
Yeah, it's like, do you buy Mario and expect a different experience? I don't know. Like, I expect different mechanics and new ways to solve puzzles and platform. But I don't expect Mario to suddenly start serenading me.
Yeah.
Have it be opera or be a DDR game. Like, I don't expect that.
Very, very true. So overall, you're really enjoying it, and it's definitely something people, should they run out and pick it up? Should they wait for next gen? Because they're probably going to release a copy of this on PlayStation or Xbox when they come out in November. What do you think?
I guess it all kind of depends on you, if you enjoy these type of games. If you like open world crime games, this is the quintessential open world crime game.
If you like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I've been playing Saints Row 4 too, which is actually at this point is such a different beast. But I highly recommend. I mean, I love it. I'm having a really good time with it. So
that's good.
I'm glad to hear that you're not that. I guess I'm interested to hear your reaction to the misogyny arguments that have been going around the internet. Because I've heard a couple other podcasts with female podcasters who are kind of in the same boat as you. They're like, well, it's Grand Theft Auto. I wasn't really expecting strong commentary on the plight of modern day females.
I'm definitely way over on the other side in general when it comes to the feminist stance argument, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm pro equality, but I'm not pro one group above another, and that includes girls. And I also don't think that media influences me and my decisions, and it shouldn't influence anybody else in terms of how I think of myself or how I think of other women. And really, I'm not going to go into a video game and go, oh, well, my character just smacked a girl, so I'm going to walk out my door and smack a girl.
That's very important. Yeah, I was raised to treat women and the rest of the human race
yes,
respect.
Exactly.
Not just because I bought Grand Theft Auto and I'm making it rain on the stripper, I'm not going to go degrade Katie, who, by the way, I've been playing this entire game with my girlfriend Katie sitting next to me, and she's just laughing her ass off the whole time.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of this stuff is funny and entertaining, and you shouldn't really read into it any more than that. And I mean, if you want to have the argument that the guys that made the game are blah, 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 whatever, take it somewhere else, because, whatever. If they're immature and, women-hating, then that's for them to deal with in their own real life. But the reality is they sold $1 billion worth of their video game in, 48 hours? So,
yeah.
Maybe they're not actually like that, but they just know what people like to play.
I'm not saying I discount the argument entirely. I do think it's odd that, hey, there's three entirely different characters you can play, and not one of them is a female character. I mean, I would have liked to just... Because we've had, 5 + 2. So you've got 7, technically, Grand Theft Auto games, and none of them have starred a female character. I'd just like to see their take on, a female crime lord.
Yeah, I guess so. I think... I don't know. I like people to be able to tell whatever story they want to tell in whatever way they want to tell it. And I don't want ever a female character to be in a video game and feel forced. For me,
my
I'm not saying that you're saying that, but that would always be my fear, is that they were like, oh, well, in Grand Theft Auto 5, we had 3 male characters and everybody bitched, so Grand Theft Auto 6 is going to be 2 chicks and a dude, or, whatever. Just because it has to be, because people are telling us we need female characters. For me, when they made Commander Shepard a woman and I could play Mass Effect 3 as a woman, that was awesome. And it never felt forced. All of her dialogue was similar, but not exactly the same. And I really, really enjoyed that experience. If they had just put a female skin on top of a male character, I wouldn't have enjoyed that half as much. So
let's be honest, if it was they kept the male voice, it would be a little awkward.
That is true. Although maybe it's just a very, manly Commander Shepard. I can't actually do a male voice, so I should probably stop that now.
But I think you should carry through the rest of the entire cast with that voice.
No way. But that actually brings me to the last kind of thing I wanted to mention, was Joel finally finished Mass Effect 3. So everybody who's been kind of following the show for a while, he's been playing off and on for about 8 months. And what I've been doing is watching him play it, because it's such an entertaining title. I'm getting a completely different playthrough just by sitting watching him. And it's almost like watching a movie. So
I've been wanting to go back through again, and because my girlfriend Katie isn't very into playing a lot of games. There's certain games she enjoys, but overall, if it's like a Twitch shooter, it's not her thing.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I kind of want to play through the entire series again, but just let Katie decide all of the dialogue options, just to see a different
perspective. And that's totally what I was getting out of Joel's playthrough, is he was doing things like going to different missions in different orders than I did them. He had characters dying or surviving that were way different than me, and that totally changed his endgame. And just the entire experience was so different than my experience, but still amazing. And I was just like, you know what? Mass Effect, you just nailed it. But he got an ending that I didn't even know was possible. So, I mean, it's been out forever, so I don't even care if you guys are going to call spoilers on me, so...
Is it the one where you walk in the middle?
No, it's not. That's the one I did by accident. Because the whole entire time...
Because the other two are the most obvious.
Well, and yeah.
I found about the middle option after I beat it. I was just like... reading up on it. I'm like, what? That was an option? That's the option I would have taken.
Oh my god, that's so funny. I was through like, well, first of all, you go up in the beam to get to the Citadel, and then you go up in a beam to talk to the little dude that's on the top of the Citadel. So I literally thought that to go to the place to make my final decision, I had to go through the beam again. So I ran into the middle, and then that was my ending decision. And I was like, oh, wait, what's going on? Like, I didn't even make my choice yet. So, but no, what Joel did was, and he's going to play through it again because it's so ridiculous. He was like, he didn't really understand the whole conversation with that little AI kid. And then he kind of got it. And then he was just like, this is dumb. I don't want to do any of this. He turned around and shot the kid in the head. I didn't even know that that was a thing.
Yep. You can absolutely do that. I think it still gives you one of the three options, though. I forget which one it gives you.
He said that because I heard it happening as I was setting up for the show last week, and he was like, my game's over. I was like, what? No, there's like a good 10 minutes of dialogue at least left. You know, there's cutscenes and everything. He's like, no, it's over. I shot the kid in the head, and then he went, so it's all gonna be the same or something like big and dire in this booming voice. And then it was just like, the Reapers win. We lose. That was it. I was like, oh, yeah,
well,
no.
You gotta be a jerk about it.
Well, yeah, you did shoot the little kid in the head. So there's that.
He's not really a little kid. He's more like the I don't even know, the dude with the beard in the second Matrix in the room full of TVs.
It's like the dude with the beard. There's a dude with a beard? Man, I played through that game way too fast.
He looks like the KFC guy.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was the ending to Joel's Mass Effect 3 playthrough, which is so ridiculous. It made me laugh, so I had to share with you guys.
That is the best Mass Effect 3 story I think I've ever heard. It just And knowing Joel, I wonder if it was like, if he thought it was going to cause the ending, or if he's like, I wonder if I could shoot the kid.
It was literally, I wonder if I could shoot the kid. This is dumb. I don't want to choose any of them. And he turns around and he's like, hey, I still have crosshairs. What does that mean? Boom.
That's great.
Yeah, so.
Wow. Yeah, I really dig those games. They were, that was a big contender for what I enjoyed most this console generation, I guess.
It was my game of the year for last year. Ryan picked Walking Dead. Sheep.
Walking Dead was phenomenal. I don't care if it was echoing what everyone else was saying. Which I would almost not call it a game. That experience was unforgettable.
Which is why I said it couldn't be game of the year, is because it's not really a game.
It technically is, though.
I know technically it is, but I just felt... we're totally going to go into it. If you guys want to know everything that I think about Walking Dead, go to our game of the year from last year, because it's literally this exact conversation. But Walking Dead was interesting, but I think I played all 5 episodes in one go. So I think it was just, I was kind of like, meh, yeah, it was all right. Yeah. I think if I had the anticipation in between each, it might have been better. But yeah, given everything else that came out last year, Mass Effect 3 was my easy winner.
Yeah, I'd do an episode, then I'd take like a couple days break, because that's heavy. Like, you must have been depressed as hell by the end of that, because like every single episode at the end of it is like, all right, would you like to kill the kitten, or would you like to kill the puppy? Enjoy. Either way, it's your fault and you should feel bad about it.
Yeah, really. See, and I think that's the thing, is that because I played it so quickly, none of that ever really sank in. So I was just kind of like, yeah, okay, it felt like I wasn't invested in any of it. So I was just kind of like, meh, whatever, you know.
Okay. I really dig The Walking Dead. Like, I'm really into the comics, and I've been very let down by the television show. That... like came out right, because that came out like right as the third season of Walking Dead was heading into its mid-season break, and I was getting so down on it. I'm like, God, this is really not what I wanted it to be. And then that came out, and I was just like, holy crap, these people get it. Telltale gets it.
I found I did enjoy the comic books, and I haven't read all of the comic books. I think I've pretty much read up to where they are in the TV show. I've read in the comic books.
That's about where I am as well. Yeah, I'm still going through it. And then I recently picked up Saga, which has derailed me because it's amazing.
Totally turning into a comic podcast by accident.
Hey, this sounds like every other show I do.
That's true.
Today King we're here to tangents. Talk about StarCraft, but let me tell you about Super Smash Bros. Because
it's totally like StarCraft. Watch, I'll bring it back around, guys. Don't even worry.
Jigglypuff kind of looks like Creep.
And on that fantastic note, I am going to tell everyone that Ryan, Garrett, and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, our network, and the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when we purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. So, it's Extra Life time again, guys. I'm very excited. Everyone else should be excited when they hear this later. But for those of you who were paying attention and following the show last year, you know that it is a 24-hour gaming marathon. They've actually changed it to 25 hours this year because apparently 24 was too easy or something. Clearly, they're not actually doing it. But they've changed it to 25 hours this year. So last year, we streamed pretty much the entire time. We are going to be streaming again this year. We have partnered up with the Tadpool and various Frog Pants personalities, so we are going to be bringing you all kinds of fun content, including Bill Doran of Punish Props. He is going to be coming on and playing some games with us, so you can check out everything.
I love Bill.
Oh, isn't Bill the best?
He is such a mega-talented jerk. I'm so jealous of him. He's too good at what he does.
He is amazing at what he does, and everything that he does is over at punishprops.com, so you guys should head on over there, check out everything that he does. He just did, speaking of all the Elder Scrolls stuff we were talking about earlier, he made amazing skeletal Draugr costumes with his wife, and they cosplayed it, and it made the internet explode.
Those who make amazing costumes from scratch and amazing talent together stay together?
Something like that, although I'm sure that you could say that a little bit more succinctly, maybe. But
I think I nailed it.
Oh, totally. So we actually got the chance to interview Bill, and I'm pretty sure that you guys did as well. Was that on StarCast or This Week in Blizz? Or
that
when
was
did
on,
you...
on StarCast because he was building Kerrigan's Ghost
Rider. Right. I was wondering, because I was looking back to try to figure out, he was on episode 63 for us, and I was like, oh my god, 30 episodes ago? There's no way it's been that long since we talked to Bill. It totally was. It was like literally 30 episodes ago we talked to Bill, and you're right,
yeah,
it was
time flies.
Right around, it would have been around the Heart of the Swarm release because of the Kerrigan rifle build. So I'm not sure. Did we ever find out who won that? I'm sure it was posted somewhere, but.
Oh, way to ask me things that I had written down somewhere, but are now underneath piles and piles of other show note copies.
I'm putting you on the spot, man. Jeez, you so let me down.
Yeah, no, I have no idea.
But yeah, there's pictures of that rifle all over the place, and it is amazing. I was so jealous that I didn't win that.
I found the episode for us. It was StarCast episode 141, titled Jimmy and Kerrigan Sitting in a Tree. Bill Doran was on to talk about building Kerrigan's ghost rifle. That was 7 months ago.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
So there you go. If you guys want to check out us talking to Bill about various different things that he does, then you can check out StarCast and Gamers Inn, the episodes from way back in March. And he's going to be joining us and playing some games and being all cool and stuff. We have all kinds of guests, and we're going to kind of announce a new guest every week on Gamers Inn. And if you guys want to support us, you can go to the Extra Life website. You can support the team, which is just the Gamers Inn team, or you can support an individual like me. Me. I'm currently winning, or I was. There was like one donation and it was to me, and I like tweeted out to everyone. I was like, ha, I'm winning. Screenshot.
Huzzah.
It's not gonna last. Last year Ryan beat me by like $500 or something.
Oh, jerk.
Yeah, he had some like random anonymous donation of like $500, and to this day he swears it wasn't his mom.
It was his mom.
It was totally his mom.
Yeah, I'm sorry I can't make that. Unfortunately, Kyle from StarCast is a selfish son of a gun and is getting married.
I know. It's like he's not thinking about the children.
Think about the children, Kyle. Think about the children. You know what? I'll just have to bring my doghouse system to his wedding and participate from the reception.
Oh, you totally should.
I may be a little belligerent because I'm sure alcohol will be involved, but hey.
That's okay. I will be belligerent just because I'll be so sleep deprived. So it'll balance out. It'll be fine.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Nothing's better than streaming video games while wearing a bow tie.
Oh my god. I was such a wreck by the end of last year. We did an update at like 5 a.m. and I was like in my sweatpants, my glasses on, my hair in a ponytail, and I was just like, guys, I feel like I'm drunk. I haven't been up for 26 hours now. There's still 4 hours to go. This is ridiculous. It was a good time. You guys should check it out.
Watch Jocelyn slowly slip into madness.
It made me go, oh my god, madness. What else do we... It was at like 3 a.m. last year, and we all played Slender. And that game lasted 7 minutes for me, maybe. And it was the most terrifying 7 minutes of my life. And it's up on YouTube.
I can't play those games. I can't do that. I can't do Amnesia. I can barely make it through Dead Space. I don't like them. I don't like them. No, thank you. I guess the closest thing to a horror game I've played and thoroughly enjoyed was Last of Us.
Mm. I have not actually played Last of Us yet, but it's one of those.
Do you have a place?
No, I was going to say it's one of those PlayStation titles, and I don't have one of those.
I was about to say, if you have a PlayStation, there is no excuse whatsoever. But if you don't have one, I completely understand.
Yeah, no, I can't decide. I'm either going to get a PlayStation 3 when all the next-gen stuff comes out because, you know, price drops. Or I'm going to get a PlayStation 4 when I eventually get into the whole next-gen console space, but that's not on launch, because, I mean, I have a doghouse, so PC all the way.
Whenever Destiny comes out, that's when I'm going to have to make a decision on a console.
Very true.
Got to play that new Bungie game.
Is Destiny on all the consoles, or is it... It can't
be. It's on Xbox One, and it's on PS4. It is not on the Wii U.
Yes, okay. Well, that doesn't even count. That is not next gen.
I didn't know if I was in a Nintendo hating safe zone or not.
I am not a big Nintendo fangirl. I used to be. I'm a fan of their IP and, you know, Mario, Zelda, all of that kind of stuff. Yay. But in terms of their hardware and the decisions they made over the last 5 years, Ryan is the Nintendo apologist.
Okay. I love my 3DS. I love it to death.
Yeah.
But
he says too, and I'm hoping they come out with a Zelda kind of like exclusive one like they did for the Animal Crossing one, and then I will pick that up with the new
Zelda. They are. It's a Link's... what is it called? It's a direct sequel to A Link to the Past, apparently.
Oh, yeah. No, I know the game is coming out. No, I want like a console, like a special edition console thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
They said they are doing one. They just haven't...
Well, they did one for the 25th anniversary, which was last year, the 25th anniversary of Zelda or of Ocarina of Time. I can't remember which one. It must have been of the Zelda franchise because Ocarina of Time is not that old.
Yeah.
Is it that old? Yeah.
I was not 1 year old when I was foaming at the mouth and playing that game.
Yeah, okay. I was like, wait a minute. I think I just got really, really old. But no, yeah, it must be of the Zelda franchise. And so that was last November. And so they do technically have a collector's edition Zelda 3DS. So I'm hoping that they're going to come out with a new one. But yeah, I'm kind of like refreshing the news every day going, pre-orders? Because I don't want... I like the Animal Crossing one too, but sold out. So that will not happen with Zelda.
Nice.
So I think that pretty much wraps up the show. I've kept you 6 minutes long. I'm really sorry about that.
Oh, how dare you.
I know.
Well, that's so, no, that's fine.
So you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on A-Move TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, and A-Move Radio. Garrett, is there
anything? She's lying. They're terrible shows done by terrible people. Especially that main host. He's a jerk.
I was going to say, I'm pretty much sure that that's actually all of your stuff except Biggest Fan. So is there anything else you want to pimp before I let you go?
No, nothing. Yeah, no. There's some new shows I've on the burner, but nothing I can announce yet. Follow me on Twitter at Garrett Art, GarrettArt.
You have said that more than once.
Actually, I think that's the first time I've ever spelt it. But really? It's also mostly my name, so no, that I definitely have said more than once.
Nice. You can follow us, the regular hosts, on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan, who's unfortunately not with us tonight, is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You should totally go subscribe, because we need more subscribers. You can also find our show on Facebook and Google+. So email us if you have any questions for us next week. We're going to be talking about all things Valve, because all of those announcements came out this week. Ryan was super pumped about it, but then couldn't make it this week. So we decided to push all of our Valve talk till next week. So this is your chance to send in an email to info@gamersandpodcast.com with your thoughts or questions or anything Valve. Before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to Greg Moffitt for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.